Well, praise the Lord and greetings to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We invite you to worship with us here at Mount Calvary Miracle Temple Apostolic Church, where our pastor is the Honorable District Elder Johnny Magnus. Please enjoy the wonderful Word of God. God bless you.
And I look at how much time was on the message. I said, Lord, have mercy. If I was scrolling across some videos and I saw a video with that much time, I'm going to just keep on scrolling. Like, I don't want to invest that much time into a video. Amen? So we're going to try to do better on those things. I want to say before I forget, I'm so grateful for Elder Pope doing this high-tech stuff. Amen? Now, it took Brother Andrew 2 years to even talk me into doing any type of video anything, right? And so once we started doing it, I really liked the outreach that we're able to do by way of it. And now we have it basically perfected. I think I've seen one other church in our council that might be a little bit better than ours. They have purchased equipment where they can do all kind of stuff to fade in and fade out. But I'm gonna tell y'all something, Elder Pope got the fade in and fade out going and coming and everything. Don't honor a video professional, amen. So we're so thankful for that, amen. And I always forget to say anything about it, but Elder Pope, I appreciate you, my man. Come on and give the Lord a hand praise for Elder Pope. So this morning, we want to go ahead and go to the lesson, and we are going to begin with the scripture found in 2 Corinthians 11th chapter, verses 2 through 4. And our topic today is, it's simple. It's simple. Look at somebody and say, it's simple. And we have people making the Word of God too complex. And there's so many reasons why they do it, which we'll bring out in Bible class. But the Word of God is not complex. Being saved, coming to the Lord, is not complex. Amen. It is very simple. To serve the Lord is not complex. It is simple. Amen. And we want to observe that today in the scriptures here. We see 2 Corinthians 11th chapter, verse 2 says, and this is Paul writing, he said, "For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ." And now look here, man, we ain't no women, so don't y'all be looking at this saying, what, they're trying to make us effeminate or emasculate us and all that kind of stuff. No, the scripture is just clearly stating something, that by way of repentance and baptism in Jesus' name, we have become connected to the Lord, and it is a type of marriage, if you will. Amen. And so the writer is just saying he wants to make sure that now that I have connected you to Jesus, we keep you straight. Amen. Well, here's what he said. "But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." And verse 4 states, "For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus whom ye have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him." So let's take this verse by verse here. In verse 3, it says, "I fear by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." Now, what is simple is, it is not that we don't want to use the word simple like it's used in our society to try to say stupid or unworthy or anything like that. The Word of God can have some twists and turns that a carnal mind cannot understand. And that's why it's important for us to stay single-minded. Somebody say single-minded. See, the simplicity is in the single-mindedness that we have when we come to the Lord and we commit ourselves to the Lord and say, Lord, I live for you. I will die for you. I don't want to do anything else but serve you and praise you. That is single-mindedness. And the writer says, I fear that you might act just like Eve did, who looked outside the word of God, that looked outside the commitment to the word of God, looked outside all the things that God had already provided, and to look to something else that God said, don't look to. I fear that you will act like her and that the enemy will come with another gospel, something else that is not godly, and you'll be stolen away. See, the simplicity is all about the single-minded nature that you have. And it's not that everything is so simple to be understood, because those who don't have spiritual ears, guess what? They can't hear. Those who don't have spiritual eyes, guess what? They cannot see. But when you are spiritual and single-minded, you can hear and you can see. All right? We don't have addition by subtraction or subtraction by addition. In other words, we're not picking up societal norms and adding them to the Word of God, nor are we shedding pieces of the Word of God to pick up anything that's out in the world. We're not friends with the world. We don't love the world. And so since we're not friends with the world, don't love the world, we have no business picking up things of the world, adding them to us, or chopping things off of the righteous life that we live to add those things to us. So there's no addition by subtraction, and we don't subtract to add. Amen. A made-up mind finds it simple. The reason why we find things complex oftentimes is not just because of false teachers who teach things that are not in the Bible, but if the way is hard to whom? The transgressor. When our flesh does not want to comply with the word of God, it starts finding the things of the Bible hard to understand and hard to do. And our flesh rejects the word of God. It does not like the word of God. I don't care how good of a person I may appear to be, I've got the same flesh that you have, and that flesh does not like the word of God. And that's why the same writer said that we must bring our flesh into, or shall I say, under subjection. He said there is no good thing that dwells in the flesh. That I would do, I do not, and that I would not, that I do. So I've got to be careful and keep under my body. I got to bring it into subjection. How do you bring it into subjection? You bring it into subjection by the word of God, by fasting, by prayer, by meditating upon the word, by hearing the word of God. Faith comes by hearing. So we need all of these things to keep it simple. The complexity is the flesh. The flesh always brings in things that are hard to be understood. It always brings in things that don't cooperate with the spirit. And while we're analyzing and guessing at things and trying to figure out how we can do things in a fleshly carnal way, we make complexities out of all of the word of God because we still want to do what's in the flesh. When we make up our mind to say, Lord, I'm going to live for you, regardless of how much my flesh rises up, things are simple. Amen. But when we say, Lord, I do want to live for you, and I want the reward that comes with living for you, but you know, I kind of want to do this stuff over here. Well, we take away from our ability to understand the word of God. And that's why we have so many people say, I don't understand, I don't understand. Well, look, y'all, I don't understand rap. I don't understand hard rock. They got all them instruments going and banging up against stuff and the head going back and forth, rah, 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 and I don't know what they're saying. I don't live in the world. So the lyrics that come forth through rap and hard rock, I don't understand it because I don't live in it. nor am I going to take the time to sit down and listen to rah, rah, rah for hours and hours until I do understand. So the same way you understand rap and hard rock is not you understood it right off. You understood it after you kept it in your life over and over, day by day. You began to understand it. So you understand the word and it becomes simple to you when you apply it to your life. Amen? The Bible says, set your affections on things above. He whose mind is stayed on him, he will keep them in perfect peace. So a made up mind finds the word simple. A made up mind finds living for the Lord simple. Amen. I don't need to bring the complexities of hate and fear and sensuality into my life. They ruin things and they mess up the understanding of godliness. Purity of mind, innocence, comes with staying in Christ. Tell somebody, stay in Christ.
Stay in Christ.
So we'll jump over to 1 Corinthians 2, 1 through 3. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. But the focal point here is this first verse, I came not to you with excellency of speech or wisdom. Let me read some of these bullet points I have here. So often men bring a word for the intellect rather than the soul.
Okay.
Now, the intellect, it titillates the mind, it excites the mind, but it doesn't have any depth. It can't go anywhere. When you let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus, then that mind is able to reach down far inside of you, and it's able to do things that simple intellect is unable to do. We read books, we read commentaries and definitions from men who do not have the Holy Ghost but wrote these things based on their academic prowess, amen? They've done great research and they pulled up historical data, archaeological data, and we find it interesting, but the Holy Ghost-filled believer will take these things that are purely academic and apply them to the things that we have read and experienced, the things that we have applied to our life, and they become life in us. Yeah. But to the intellect, it's nothing more than a history lesson.
Yeah.
So listen. Too often we just dealing with folks bringing something for the intellect, all right? They use scriptures, but offset them with fanciful verbiage to ignite the great carnal place. In other words, y'all know they say our brain is gray. I haven't seen my brain. I don't know what color it is, the way it acts sometimes. I would think that it's all kind of colors up there. Bruised purple on one side and lit up lime green on another side, and I'm only using about this much of it. I think it weighs about 5 pounds, but I'm only using about this much of it. Amen. They say if we could use our full brain like we're supposed to, I bet you we could do telepathy. I wouldn't even have to preach. I'd just sit down over there and go, and share the message. So listen, they use the scriptures, but they mess up the scriptures by imputing things that don't need to be there. Amen. Now listen, you've got some men and women that are of extremely high intellect, and I am not going against people that just are naturally smart and have a naturally large vocabulary, but I'm going against just being purely intellectual, because intellect don't save. The word of God saves.
Amen.
The intellect will help you to perceive what's being said, but it has no saving power. Amen. The word, unlike the intellect, goes deep into the bone, joint, and marrow. The intellect can only scratch the surface. Amen. The intellect as it stands alone has a very great limitation because it is blinded and cannot see. It is deaf and cannot hear. Amen. But when the intellect is also accompanied by the Spirit of God, by salvation, now the intellect awakens and understands things that it never thought it could understand before. Now it has revelation. It receives information and it becomes revelation. Why is that? Because of the Spirit that's in that same individual. It's the Spirit that ignites the intellect, not the intellect that ignites the Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. So listen, we got to be careful to know what we're doing here and what we're receiving, why we're receiving it. Amen. And what good is it doing? Am I reading the Bible just purely for debate status? You know, I saw them black Hebrew Israelites. I'm going to get me some word and we're going to have us a debate. Well, the Bible tells us to avoid that kind of sensation, that kind of activity. Amen. So you just want to read the scripture so you can out-debate somebody. That's not the purpose of the word of God is too precious to just use it for debate status.
Amen.
You know, I'm going to outshine them today. When I get to church, yeah, we're going to see who the real preacher is at testimony service. I'm going to get up and I'm going to trip the lights fantastic and I'm going to quote all kind of scriptures. That's not what the scripture is for. Amen. They are clean by the word which I have spoken unto them, Jesus said. And so that's the purpose of the word, to clean us up. Ain't that what we just heard in Mr. Carnita's song?
Amen.
It cleaned up your house, and that's when you were able to kick the devil out. And the reason you feel the Lord stretching out in you is because of the word, his Spirit. Amen. Let me move on. I'm trying to move here. The desire to ignite the intellect goes as far as the surface, but has a very bad side effect. It is like whiteout. Any of y'all ever use whiteout? These young folk, they don't know what whiteout is. Let's see here. Do you know what whiteout is, Sister Tierra? Okay. How about you? Oh, I see Belle. She got a confused look on her face. She was looking for her to say, what whiteout is? Do you know, Nathan? Okay, good. So I just didn't want to be speaking above the age groups in here. But white out, you take it, and before we had, you know, all these fancy computers, and y'all remember when the word processor first came out? Man, we thought we were living large with the word processor, because now no more white out. You push the button, and it backs up, and it takes out that word. Like, wow, look at that. But now we got computers. We don't have to hear no noise or nothing. We just go back over and erase it and put the right word in. But when we ignite the intellect only, it's like whiteout that erases the substance, determination, excitement of the believer to do the will of God. The intellect will be excited. The intellect will go home with a smile on its face and lay down and think about how great that intellectual word was. But once it lays down and goes to sleep thinking about it, it don't have any bearing or any effect on the way that person lives. The life of that person does not change. Only that mind is saying, boy, that was a wonderful message. I always used to hate it when I first became pastor and folk be saying, ooh, pastor, you really preach today. And nobody ever told me any results from the preaching. They didn't tell me what they heard. It's just, man, you really preach. So my ego is getting boosted, you know. Yeah, that's right. They said, I preach today. But did you receive something?
Amen.
Did it help you? Have you made a decision on what you are or not going to do? Have you decided while you were sitting there that I'm not in the right place, but I'm making a decision that I'm going to get in the right place? It should be while the Word of God is going forth that the Word of God itself, the Spirit, is prodding on the inside of you, illuminating things that are not right, bringing it to your attention. And you can cause your mind to settle upon that and decide, I'm going to do better. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Right there, we don't have to wait to go outside the doors to go throw the drink away. We already threw it away in our mind. We don't have to wait until we go outside and start our car up to decide that we ain't going to be shacking no more. We made that decision while we were sitting here. Amen. Amen. We ain't going to wait until we find out where we stashed our barbiturates last time we was high. I know they're around here somewhere because I hit them and I want some more and I'll find them directly. But we don't have to make up our mind when we get there in search. We made up our mind while the Word was going forth. And we decided with determination, because now we're empowered by the Word of God to do it, we decided that we're getting rid of it. All right, our last scripture verse here, Matthew 11:29 reads, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." His yoke is easy and his burden is light. And Jesus is telling us, take my yoke upon you. What you've been trying to do, you've been trying to do it on your own. And what Jesus is saying here is that now by my power, by my Spirit, you are able to actually do what you have been trying to do. There is a word that says what the law could not do. Let me read it. What the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So to explain that to you, the law was not unrighteous, but the law depended upon weak human flesh to perform it. And weak human flesh could not perform the law, but by the power and the might and the Spirit of Jesus Christ, he said, if you take my yoke upon you, in other words, take my teaching upon you, and my teaching comes with my Spirit. Take my teaching, take my Spirit upon you. My teaching, my Spirit is easy. My yoke is light, and you're able to perform the righteousness that you could not perform before. You told yourself, I don't know how many times, what you were going to do, what you were not going to do, and you didn't have the power to do it. You tried to deliver yourself, but you weren't able to deliver yourself. You tried to keep yourself from going somewhere that you should not go, but you couldn't keep yourself from going there. You tried to keep yourself from thinking thoughts that you ought not to think, but you couldn't keep those thoughts from coming and resting upon your brain and drilling down in your spirit. But Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Take my teaching and take my Spirit, because the way you were before, you were without strength, you were without power, you were without my Spirit on the inside of you. So now if you take my yoke upon you, I have the Spirit, I am the Holy Ghost, I am the Comforter, and I will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. So you couldn't remember the right thing before, you couldn't do the right thing before. Sometime you remembered the right thing, you knew what you were supposed to do, but you didn't have the power to engage it. You didn't have the power to carry it forth. But now, because Jesus is here, the flesh was the weakness of the law, but the Spirit is the strength of the Word of God. Come on and shout hallelujah. There is something different about this Word of God. Look, we have the Word and we still read the Old Testament scripture. They had power and they still have power right now. But there's something different about this word that we receive now, because we have the Spirit of God, because of the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed. Now when we hear that word of God, the same word that was bondage to them is illumination and freedom unto us. Come on and say yes in this place. The word of God is powerful. It brings excitement on the inside of the believer. The believer is able to walk in the strength and the power of the Holy Ghost, not because of themselves. And it's not a burden unto them whereby they say, I feel locked up. I feel overcome. I feel heavy and weighted down. The reason why they felt that way, because they did not have the Spirit of God. But now you that were all far off, now those of you that were not a part of the commonwealth, those of you that were lost and could not come to the Lord, Jesus said, now by way of my Spirit, by way of the blood that now forgives you of your sins, if you have faith in that blood and you repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus, when you are filled with my Spirit, you don't have to feel burden and heavy no more. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. I won't put upon you what the Pharisees put upon you. I won't put upon you what your own flesh put upon you. I won't put upon you what society in this world puts upon you. But I come to give you freedom. I come to give you liberty. I come to set the captives free. I'm here for your deliverance. I'm here for you to walk away from sin. I'm here for you to overcome the flesh. I'm here for you to have confidence, to know that you can walk in the Word of God. If you walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. How do I walk in the Spirit, Pastor? I've been trying to do that. I've been trying to do what's right. In order for you to walk in the Spirit, you must repent. The Bible says that you must be born again. See, you must be born of the water and of the Spirit. You can't be born the regular birth. Your regular birth brought you in here speaking lies. Your regular birth brought you in here already in sin. But when you are born again, you can walk in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. We baptize you in the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Then when you rise, you rise to walk in the newness of life. How many of you want to walk in the newness of life? How many of you want to walk different from the way you used to walk? How many of you want to walk away from your flesh? How many of you want to walk into deliverance? How many of you want that freedom that's in Christ Jesus alone? Tell the Lord yes right now. Tell the Lord, I want deliverance, Lord. I want freedom, Lord. I don't want to do those things no more. I don't want to think the way I used to think. I want the old things to pass away. And behold, I want everything to become new. And so Jesus says, if you take my yoke upon you and learn of me, he said it to you, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And if you take it upon you, you can become a new creature, a new creation. Whatever you were, you ain't that no more. You still encased in the same body. You still have the same gray matter. You still have the same memories of things in the past. But what you got different now is the power of the Holy Ghost. And you reach forth for those things which are before, and you forget those things which are behind. No matter how many of those old things come up to make you remember, you'll remember now, I'm a new creature. It don't matter what I was yesterday. Today I'm saved. Today I'm a new creature. Today I live for Jesus Christ. Come on and shout hallelujah. I don't care where you think you are. What you think that you have done, Jesus said you can be saved. And it is simple. You don't have to take no classes to be saved. Come on, somebody in this place. Because the Holy Ghost will sit you down in a spirit-filled class whenever it is necessary to bring you up to the standard that you need to be brought up to. But the Bible says all you got to do is repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall be filled with the Holy Ghost. It's that simple. Now when you begin to walk with Christ, Satan, the adversary, will try to bring in complexities. He'll try to come and tell you you ain't really saved. The stuff that you did before, I want you to know God didn't forget about it, and the blood didn't really forgive you for what you did. But you've got to understand, Jesus is not a liar. He is God and not man. He cannot lie. Whatever he says is truth. Whatever he says is revealed. Somebody shout yes in this place. So when you come to God, I want you to know that all those things have been forgiven, and you can come to the Lord in the simplicity of the singleness of your mind and just tell the Lord, Lord, I'm here to stay, Lord. I ain't going nowhere. I come over here to stay, Lord, until I die. Make it simple in your mind. Tell your mind you want to be single today. One scripture says the light of the body is in the eye, and if the eye be single, the whole body has light. Oh, come on, somebody in this place. If your eye is single, in other words, if your mind, if your spirit, if everything in you is singularly upon the things of God, it makes everything simple. But whenever you reach out to think about other things outside the will of God, you're bringing in complexities that will mess up your walk with Christ. I want you to put blinders on. Put the blinders on like they put on the racehorses, so the racehorse will just see what's directly in front of him, and he can run the race without being impeded. How many of you are going to run this race without being impeded? Put some blinders on and say, Lord, I've got a single mind. I got a single eye, and I'm just looking forth unto those things which are before, and I'm going to be saved. Come on and shout hallelujah. If you're here today, come on to this altar. We want you to be saved. We want you to be delivered. We want you to be encouraged. We want you to be excited. We want you to be rejuvenated in the things of God. And if you're here today and things have not been simple for you the way they should be, and you've got too many complexities swirling around in your life, come on to the altar and let's pray and let's ask God to take the complexities out. I already know what the complexities are. I don't have to ask you. The complexities are the thorns.